to another episode of the 10-4 show, this time to talk about debugger enhancements and improvements in Visual Studio 2010. We have a couple people with us today. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
My name's Andrew Hall. I'm a program manager on the Visual Studio debugger.
Great. And over here?
And I'm Brett Sullivan. I'm also a program manager on the Visual Studio debugger.
Excellent. So what are some of the fun stuff we're here to talk about today?
I'm going to start off today talking about enhancements that we've done to breakpoints, going to show some enhancements that we've done to our data tips, and then show a new threads window that we've created for doing multi-threaded debugging.
Great. That's excellent. Let's dive right in.
All right. So we're going to start with an application that we call our Advanced Stock Analyzer application. It's very basic. We'll go ahead and start debugging here. I've set a breakpoint down in one of the models. How this application works is it's just a very basic simulator. It simulates some stock prices for the Dow Jones, the NASDAQ, and the S&P 500. We enter a stock symbol over here, and it will simulate the prices for these as well. And then we can apply different stock analysis models to it. So what we're going to go down here is we're going to go to a stock model called Moving Average. And it should jump down into a breakpoint that I set down in the stock model. Now what's going on here is I have a C# application. The stock analyzer application is written in C#, the WPF user interface. But this particular application is written in C++ native. And so we're doing interop debugging right now. And you can see that I hit a breakpoint down here. And if I mouse over my variable, I get a standard data tip. So what the standard data tip is it'll show me the values. We've added the ability to stick these to the source code editor. We've added the ability to stick these to the source code editor.
Nice.
And so you can drag them around, and they will stay in place where they are originally from. So if you scroll, they scroll with the editor. If we step out of our function, debug, step over, you'll see that they go away.
Mm-hmm.
They are hidden because they're stuck to the source code. So I'm going to go ahead and hit F5 again. We'll wait until we get back around to that next iteration of the thing, and we can see that the data tip pops right back
very
out
cool.
for us. So we have the ability to float them as well if we want. We aren't limited to sticking to the source code. Now that it's floating, it will stay in place. It will stay on top of other windows. I can drag it over on top of the Switch Explorer. I can stick it up here if I want. There's no limit. I can drag it onto a second monitor if I want. When it's back in here, okay, it really only is applicable there. I stick it back in the source code. It's there. I also have the ability to add more values to it. So let's say we want to add the value tick to it. It's going to add that value as well to my data tip.
Very cool.
We've also created the ability to insert comments. This is kind of a tool for keeping track of information while you're debugging. So I'm not sure that move is correct here. Might be because tick is coming in wrong. And so now I have this comment here. I don't need it all the time. I can hide it. I can go back here, I can click, I can get my comment back. So we think this is a really valuable
nice.
Tool that we've added.
Yeah.
So if I go ahead and do that. Now one of the other things is data tips, data inspection really goes very well with breakpoints.
Mm-hmm.
As you're debugging, you tend to set your breakpoints, you tend to inspect data tips, and we think one of the real values of these pinned data tips is they line up very well with breakpoints. You pin it here, when I hit this breakpoint, my value's already there. You can see right now I'm using a lot of screen real estate for my watch window and my call stack window. Well, if I don't need the watch window, I can go ahead and close these, and I can get more screen real estate on here and just use the data tips now because they're always present on the screen.
Right.
But let's say that we want to open up our breakpoints window and show you some of the enhancements that we have around breakpoints since data tips line up so well with breakpoints. So we've added some new functionality to 2010 over 2008. A couple of things. We've added the ability to label breakpoints. So right now, in this column, I've labeled a bunch of breakpoints. All of them are disabled except the one that we're currently on. But I've added some for main window. That's breakpoints that I have set back in the original UI that we were looking at. I have some breakpoints down on my simulator that's generating these stock prices for us, and then I have one breakpoint down on my model down here. So I can search and filter items out of the window based on any of the visible columns. So right now I can select what I want to search. I want to search all visible columns, and I just want the breakpoints that relate to model. I do that, all the rest of them go away. Now any other operations that I perform in this window, such as enable, disable, delete, only apply to the ones that aren't filtered out. So this is a way to manage a lot of breakpoints.
Right
now we want to stop at a breakpoint down this model. Another enhancement that we've added to breakpoints for C++ users is we added the ability to do conditional breakpoints using string compare functions in the conditional breakpoints. So here I can do a string compare of move, and I only want to break when the value's by. So I'm going to do when that equals 0. That's just valid C++. Click OK. I'm going to see that it's going to get a little plus sign here that's going to indicate it's a conditional breakpoint. And if I hit F5 to start debugging again, it will only break when the analysis comes back by. Yep, sure enough, it comes back by. Let's go ahead and add a condition. I'll change the condition from by to... So we only want to break when it's pulled. I click OK, hit F5 to resume debugging, and it continues to return by, and I'll see that I'm not breaking anymore.
Nice.
So we'll go ahead and flip this condition back because it looks like it's telling us to buy the stock right now. I can do this while I'm debugging. There's no requirement that I have to be stopped. We actually stopped because it hit hold. So we had actually stopped because it hit hold while I was editing, but it broke on the condition. So a couple other things that we added that we think work really well between breakpoints and data tips is we have the ability to import and export both data tips and breakpoints. And this can work for personal backup purposes. I want to export all of the breakpoints that I have right now, so I'm going to go ahead and do that. I'm going to click this export all the breakpoints. It exports them, drop them on the desktop right now. I'm going to call them all BPs, BPs.xml, and this is going to export all the ones that I have in there. Now, let's say I'm working in this native model, which is deciding whether I want to buy or sell stocks, and I didn't write this code. I'm not exactly sure what's going on here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to send this over to my friend that did the development on this one. So I'm going to go down here to my native model, and I'm going to say edit labels. We have the ability to provide multiple labels on a single breakpoint. So I'm going to go ahead and add my alias here at Microsoft to the label. So you can see it now has two labels, my alias and the model. And I want to go ahead and export only the ones that have my alias on it. So it does that. I'm going to say export, and I'm going to call this modelbp.xml. That'll export that breakpoint. So now I have my data tip, and I want to go ahead and send this along with the breakpoint so that when my friend opens up the imports the breakpoint, imports the data tip, hits F5, all the information is going to be there. So I'm going to go debug, export data tips, and we're going to call this modeldt.xml. This exports it as an XML file as well. So I'm going to go ahead and say debug, and I'm going to clear all my data tips. It's going to get rid of that. I'm going to go ahead and clear this, and I want to delete all of the breakpoints that are in the breakpoints window. So if I go ahead and import, I can go back and do all bps.xml. Sure enough, they all come back. Let's go ahead and delete all these again, just like we did before. Let's go ahead and stop debugging. We're going to pretend that I've now switched over to, I put these in an email, I send them over to my colleague. He's going to go debug, import data tips. He's going to go find my data tip XML file that I sent him. He's going to go ahead and import. And you notice that a pin icon appears here in the gutter to show that the data tip, sure enough, has been imported. He's going to go open up his breakpoints window, and he's going to say, I want to import breakpoints. He's going to do the model breakpoint. Yep, sure enough, it imports that breakpoint. He's going to begin debugging by pressing F5. And then he's going to do, let's take a look at Microsoft, hits that. He's going to go ahead down here and select native model. moving average model, and yep, sure enough, it breaks, the conditions buy, my comments here for them, the data tips there, all the information relative at that time for him.
Nice. Yeah.
So the other thing that I would like to show today is the threads window. So we're going to go ahead and close the breakpoints window now. And we can do this from the same application where we are right now. So we're going to go debug window threads. There was a threads window in Visual Studio 2008, but it didn't have nearly the functionality we have now. I'm going to go ahead and hide my Solution Explorer, get a little bigger here, and I'll see that I have all the threads that are currently running. A lot of them are Windows 32 worker threads. I don't really know what's going on in these. I didn't create these. I can see my threads up here that I created, main, my one for simulating the Dow Jones, the S&P, the NASDAQ, the one that controls market trends. So there are a couple options for getting rid of threads that I don't care about or I don't know. In Manage Code for C#, Visual Basic, I have the option to flag just my code, and then I can choose to group by the flag indicator. I'll collapse the unflagged threads, and now I only have the threads that I care about in the threads window. There's another option if maybe you're debugging and it's not just my code that you care about, but you can choose to debug threads that are only running certain modules. So we have, it's called flag custom module selection, and I can select those here as well. Flag just those threads. We've added also the ability to search inside the threads window, so if I remove my grouping indicator, I can search for all the threads that I care about. So let's search for one that's anything that has market in the title. Sure enough, highlighting pops up, and only those threads appear to me. So I'm going to go ahead and do this. I'm going to go back and just group by my flag indicator, collapse this unflagged thread, and I'm going to see that I can customize my column selection as well. In Visual Studio 2008, there was a limited number of columns. There was no ability to customize that selection. Mm-hmm. So I can choose to see my managed thread ID if I'm debugging managed code. I can choose to see my thread category, or in this case, it's main or worker. Maybe I don't care about it that much. Maybe I'd rather have the screen real estate so it fits in a smaller area. So I can go ahead and get rid of that. I can see how many times it's been suspended. I can see the process name, see the affinity mask, whatever I want. If I don't care about this information, I can make it go away. I can customize that to my choice. Mm-hmm. So we have also added the ability to do inline call stack expansion. So I click on this down arrow, and it's going to expand the call stack of the thread that I'm currently running.
Very cool.
So this can be really useful, as opposed to, once again, I don't necessarily have to have the call stack window open in the bottom part of the screen, taking up real estate if I want more room to see my code. We've added the ability to search call stacks. So we can see that I'm searching here. Well, let's say I want to find all the threads that are running nativemodel.dll. So if I do right now nativemodel.dll and I search, it's going to return nothing because it only searches what's visible in the window by default. But if I click this search call stack, sure enough, it's going to pop up. I see my main thread. I expand it. Yep, there, nativemodel.dll is present on the call stack. So this can be really useful for finding a specific thread when there's a lot of threads and a lot of code, but something isn't necessarily visible in the window right away.
Yeah, that's a lot of improvements.
We've also added, this is a very, very minor one, but it used to be that whenever I would switch between threads, I wouldn't know which thread originally broke. Mm-hmm. So I hit the breakpoint on my main thread, but I want to go over and see what's going on in the NASDAQ simulation thread. So I do this, you can see that the yellow arrow indicating this is my current thread appears here, and that used to be all it was. Well, now we leave the little hollow arrow to indicate which thread I originally stopped on. So if I want to get back there, I just do that, I'm back.
Awesome. This is very cool.
So,
a lot of fun stuff there. So I understand we have even more stuff to show off.
Yes, absolutely. So I guess I can take over here. So I'm going to start back with the same application, the Stock Analyzer application. But I'm going to show a few things around how we've enhanced our experience with dump debugging. So I'm going to close up some things here. I'm just going to restart the application. So I've started the application here. You know, we can go back to viewing the Microsoft stock and see how that's doing. The state, of course, is all faked up right now. But one interesting thing about this application is it's actually extensible. So different developers could theoretically create these different analysis models that are available in the app. And so I'm going to select, let's say, this coin flip analysis model that was developed by a partner team at, who is not us. And so I'd select the coin flip there, and Visual Studio, this application crashes. Visual Studio catches the exception. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to break, and then I'm going to save a dump, a crash dump, and I'll save that onto the desktop. I'm going to save a mini dump with heap. There's several different things you can do to save a mini dump. A lot of the scenarios involve you know, Windows error reporting, saving up the dump and sending it to Microsoft, and the developer can get it that way. Or you can actually just save the mini dump through even Task Manager right in Windows. So there's a lot of different ways that you could get this mini dump. So let's now pretend that I was just the user, and now I'm the partner who actually wrote that model. So I'm going to close Visual Studio, and I'm going to go to my dump that I just stored on the desktop, and I'm going to open it up. So Visual Studio has had the ability to open dumps for quite some time, but we've changed the way that the dumps are open. So previously you had to open a dump by going file open project, but now it's treated as a file and not as a project in the system. And also when you open it, it doesn't bring you to nothing where you just have to guess that you click debug next. It actually brings you to what we call the dump summary page. What the dump summary page does first is it gives you a summary of the contents of the dump. So you can see that it provides the dump name, what the process was, what the architecture was, whether this dump contains heap, where the exception came from. In this case, the exception came from the CLR. What operating system this came from. This was from 6.1 7600. That's the Windows 7 generation operating system. And also the CLR version if it's a managed application. Down the bottom, we get our list of modules that were loaded in the process along with their versions. What this really does is it gives you one an opportunity to search for the modules. If, let's say, you get this dump in through some other channel and you want to triage it and see what's been loaded up, that you can do that without full-blown debugging the dump. But also it gives you the ability to just look at the module versions, which can help you determine where your symbols might be for that particular version of the application. So, speaking of symbols, one of the other things that the dump summary page provides you is some quick links to, or we call them action links, to the common set of things that you would do before you start debugging the dump. So, you can copy the contents of the dump summary page if you'd like, or you can set the symbol paths. So you just click that button, it brings up the symbol menu. Now, this menu as a whole is also different in Visual Studio 2010, and it's been enhanced quite a bit. Should be much more convenient for debugging certain types of projects. First of all, you might notice that under the list of symbol locations, you now have a checkbox for Microsoft Symbol Servers that's there by default. So to check the Microsoft public symbol servers for symbols, All you have to do is click that. There's no, you know, other confusing UI. You don't have to try to remember where that server was. It's just right there. We also have two other options that weren't here before. Here, the default option is to automatically load all symbols, but you now have the opportunity to exclude specific symbols from that list. So let's say I knew of a module that was foo.dll that had was particularly large, had a particularly large PDB, and you knew that took a long time, and you also knew that you didn't care about it. You could just go ahead and add that to this list, and then load the symbols without that one, or you know, a set of 10 similar ones that you know were always loaded in your application, but were never meaningful to you in your particular role. A second option, which is the option that I prefer, is to only automatically load specified modules. So this is a little more targeted, so you automatically load a very specific set, and you can choose that set beforehand. So again, you could just do foo.dll if foo.dll was the only module that you cared about, or you can instead save things off to a text file, as I've done beforehand, and say, these are the four modules that I care about for this application. I care about desktop, stock analyzer.exe, ntdll, kernel32dll, and models.dll. And I can go back here, set my symbol paths, specify modules, and I can just paste those right in, and there they are. So on this machine, all my symbols are loaded directly next. Since it was also built on this machine, all my symbols are going to be next to the modules, and there's an option to automatically load symbols that are next to the modules. However, I'm not going to do that because I don't want those to load in these particular cases. Instead, I only want to automatically load for those four. So those are our symbol enhancements. So I've set that up. And now you'll see that there's actually another option here that there wasn't before. We are now supporting mixed mode debugging of mini dumps.
And they all went wild.
Yeah, exactly. And this is supported for any application that's using CLR version 4.0. So I know I have CLR 4.0 here because the dump summary page tells me. And so I get this action link that says debug with mixed. And I'm going to click that in 1 second. The last thing that I'm going to mention on the dump summary page is we have this option for what we're calling the IL interpreter. And I'm going to show the IL interpreter a little bit. And what that allows you to do is actually interpret instructions so that you can run them even though you don't have a running application while you're doing dump debugging. That's something that goes a step further than native dump debugging, actually.
I think you just got all the geeks' attention out there.
I think so, too. I think this is really great. So I just clicked debug with mixed, and so we don't need the threads window right now. So I'm going to close that up, and you'll see that just like as if I were live debugging, I got the exception. So I got unhandled exception of type, system argument out of range exception occurred, min value cannot be greater than max value, so I'm going to break and let's see, clear this out. I'm going to bring up a couple windows here. So the first thing I'm going to bring up is just a watch window, and then I'll bring up a call stack window as well. Okay, so now I've got this call stack, and I've got, and I can see that the last piece of my code that ran was right here, and I'm already in that context. I can see that, we had an argument out of range exception on this line, so that's coin.next3.0. And if I go in the watch window and I actually type coin.next, you know, just exactly how it appears in the code, you know, I can see that this threw that system argument out of range exception. The other interesting thing that I can do here is, since I have this IL interpreter enabled, I can, you know, keep trying and I can keep running code. So I can say, well, what if I had put 03 in this application instead? Ah, now it returns a value. It returns 2. And, you know, if it had returned that, you know, my application would never have crashed.
Nice.
So that pretty much sums it up. The rest of the dump debugging experience is pretty similar to what we've had in the past with native. All the different debug windows should just work.
Nice. Well, thank you both of us for joining us here on Channel 9. This has been another episode of the 10-4 Show. Until next time, over and out.